You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate. Our number is 564-1290. Go to RadioRealEstate.com to listen to past programs and find real estate information. You can call me after the program at 452-CHAT, 452-2428.
Welcome back. You're today's guest. Jaron Piltz orchestrates the music and screens your calls, and I, Mark Schneidman, am my client's realtor. Okay, here's just my little soapbox. I know what you know. I know what I hear, and I'm not going to mention any names. I don't want to get involved in this because it seems to be quite a story with this Sheriff's Council thing. But when I just first started reading about it, just like you, and if you know something about this, or if you disagree, you can call at 564-1290 and let me know. But at first, my first take was, God, they're just really going after these people. It was like, oh, it started back in the 90s as a wonderful grassroots, and we had a little barbecue, and you know what? I applaud that. It allows people without means to get involved. That's a good thing. But then it turned to the corporate greedy money. And I was going, well, wait a second, though. But they're raising millions of dollars. It got involved. It got a lot of fat cats, rich people involved. I mean, isn't that a good thing? They painted it so like it was like they went into the depths of hell to print this money. And they had to trade their soul, the devil, to get this money. It was so bizarre. I was reading this. God, why are they? What's wrong with them? Now, should a nonprofit, they must adhere to guidelines set by the state. If they don't, they should be sanctioned. You want to give to a charity? You get calls on the phone. Don't you ask, well, what percentage of that goes to administration? What goes to the charity? Some charities love to publicize that a very low percent, maybe 10%, I don't know, 20%, a low percentage goes toward administrative cost. So that's important. If you're a nonprofit, you don't want to be spending 80% on parties and 20% going to the charity. But from what I heard this year, that everyone's being castigated and chastised, they had a lower percentage this year than they did the year before of administration costs. So then it's like, what should they spend their money on? Well, first of all, it's their money. If 100 rich people want to get together and party at the Bacara, and as long as they're raising a lot of money, and as I said earlier, they're following the law. And if within the organization, some people who have, worked and put the event together maybe get a little extra perk, what's extravagant? What's extra? What is allowed? It's not my job. I mean, it's their money. If they find that a president did something extra on her own and then let them sanction them. But everyone's talking about, it's their money. Again, with the guidelines that I set up. So, I don't know. I was mentioning this on New Year's Eve to R.P. Richards, and he disagreed with me. And if anyone has anything to say about it, sure, go ahead. You have your shot, 564-1290. So, like I said, I hope they find something really bad because they've been really, really getting skewered. And then someone else wrote in, a big op-ed. He goes, I have not heard anyone attack the Sheriff's Department. I have not heard anyone attack the Sheriff's Council. And then in the next paragraph, he starts talking about the hotel bill was more than five times the amount that they raised in the first year. But of course, he doesn't go on to say that they raised $1 million more. Sure, they spent money to make money. I don't know. And haven't attacked the Sheriff's Department? How about the innuendo that the Sheriff's Department is on the take? That the owner of the athletic club where that poor six-year-old boy drowned. And believe me, I know what that means. I had a six-year-old brother who died. So it's for real that the parents would want to make certain that it didn't happen again if there was neglect. But they're basically saying that the Sheriff's Department's on the take because the owner is a member of the council and he gives some money. I mean, you know what? Maybe he is. I would rather give him the benefit of the doubt. I mean, sure, everything should be investigated. But anyway, I'd be really curious to see what happens with that. And then the big fight. Big fight. Sheriff didn't press charges, is what he didn't do. A report was filed. He didn't press charges. And what I didn't read in here is that this whole FBI connection, suddenly the FBI is involved with the sheriff's counsel. I feel safer now. But apparently, a member of the council is an FBI member. I didn't see that anywhere. That was a connection. And that person, who's an FBI member, is married to a deputy DA. Well, that's an interesting connection. Anyway, that's fine. There's no problem with that. You know, if they did something wrong, they should be sanctioned. But I hope they did, because they sure got a lot of negative press. 564-1290, Radio Real Estate. I'm Mark Schneidman. We just finished Hanukkah, and I do want to... I didn't light the candles this year. I'm kind of a wayward lost soul on the Jewish background and the religion and all. So I don't partake. But I do want to mention this. You know, it's an eight-day miracle. For those of you who don't know, they had to keep this eternal light. I think it was a menorah at that time that it was lit. I always thought it was the eternal light, but it might have been already called a menorah. They had to keep it lit perpetually, and they only had enough oil left for one day. And there was a war going on. They just had won their freedom from some other country, Israel. And so the oil that they had lasted 8 days, and that's why Hanukkah is 8 days, and that's the eight-day miracle. The one day's worth of oil lasted 8 days. So I think that the Jews, they just don't know the difference between a miracle and a good product. You know, maybe they just had good oil. These guys, they have holidays, you know. They got one for a Swiss Army knife. I mean, they'll do anything for that. But I want to do the right thing. So I'm making a New Year's commitment for 2006 that for every commission that I receive, I will donate. And no matter how large the commission is, whether I represent a buyer or a seller, I will donate 10% of every commission check received by me to my retirement fund. I make that commitment to you now, and I will stand by it under scrutiny of law. Now, let's look at, I think I'll save the second half of the program, the third and fourth segments, for all the stats and year in review and looking at the fourth quarter numbers and... I think that's what I'll do. I think we'll look at a little bit of year-end in review. Let's see. Here's another real estate matter. Robert Bruss writes that a question comes in. Man's brother and the brother's wife, okay, rent a condo for me at below market rent. So the man's renting his condo to his brother, who's married, at below market rent. And he says, in my will, he's leaving the condo to him, but not his wife. Is there anything I can do to prevent his wife from inheriting the condo after my brother dies? Now, there's a few answers there, but my question is, man, you should have called Dr. Laura. He's got a lot of issues here. With you're going to be dead, your brother's dead, and you still don't want the wife to inherit the condo. Now, if he said he had some kids or he had someone else he wanted to get to it, that's fine. I mean, it's his stuff. He should do with what he wants. But I thought it was rather interesting. And he answered the way I thought, that you could give him a life estate. But that can run into problems. In other words, instead of just giving it to him outright where he owns it fee simple, then he could sell it or will it, he just gets to live in it for his lifetime. But... Then you could specify after he dies what happens to it. Now, I ran into this with a lady. God, I can't think of her name. She lived at 508 East Mitchell Terena, lived next door to the folks who I sold a house to, and she was 98 years old, and she had a life estate. And she, her husband gave it to her, and then it was to go to her husband's children, which made sense. Well, her husband's children were, you know, in their 70s by the time they get all this house, which is fine. I mean, you know, that's a great thing. You want your wife to live in it and have shelter, and I think it's a good way to go. He says that he doesn't recommend life estates. Too many problems can arise. For example, a life estate effectively ties the brother, in this case, to the condo. If he moves out, depending on the wording in your will, his life estate could terminate. So you'd have to specify, well, what if he moved out temporarily? What if he took another job somewhere? Or if you didn't care, if he wanted to move out and rent it and move somewhere, what if he went to a nursing home and he was there for, you know, he was terminal? So there's a lot of variables. It says, or he could rent the condo out to tenants. Well, maybe the guy doesn't mind. The guy just didn't want the wife to get it. So he didn't really give an alternative. But anyway, that's Robert Bruss. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, our phone number 564-1290. Maybe you had a situation like this, and you solved it in a different way. Okay. Good. We have a caller. Good morning, Bob. Thanks for calling Radio Real Estate. How are you?
Good morning. You were talking about the sheriff's so-called scandal, which I really don't view it as a major scandal. It's too bad it happened, but your guest revealed, or was it you that you revealed the connection between the FBI office here and the local deputy DA, a marriage?
Yes.
And could that have been the source of all this? A chit-chat conversation between a husband and a wife?
I don't know how it transpired.
Right. The whole, as you know, as well as anybody, this thing would have never have happened if someone in the FBI hadn't notified the DA's office about this push and shove incident.
Yeah. Now, the man who was pushed.
Right.
He elected not to press charges.
Exactly.
At least on the face of it.
Exactly.
But you could call in a roundabout way. Hey, Bob.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. I have another question for you. This is Bob Burton. You're the bounty hunter guy.
Well, yes.
I met you down at Cafe Del Sol. Do you remember? I was with R.P. Richards.
Oh, yes. My God. My favorite scoundrel. I love him.
I jokingly said I'd follow you in my car to find out where you lived, and you, I think you hit me.
I evaded you.
Stand by. Mark Schneidman. We'll come back and talk to Bob for the third segment. Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, 564-1290. 564-1290.